Good morning. This morning, if you want to open up to Matthew 26, that's where we will get started this morning. Matthew 26, 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace. And a damsel came unto him, saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what you say." And when he had gone out unto the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them, "Who were there? This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then began he to curse and swear, saying, "I know not the man." And immediately the cock crowed. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, "Before the rooster crows, you shall deny me thrice." And he went out and wept bitterly. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father God, this morning, we're asking for it be your words this morning, not mine. We're asking you, Father God, that you move at will, touching every heart, touching every life this morning, Father. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, we pray. Everyone says, amen. We all at times in our lives go through points where we feel we're not where we're supposed to be. We look at these things and we see these things and we go through things, and when we're going through them, we're like, "Lord," we feel like we're 20 paces back than where we should be. We act discouraged and we go through these things, and it's just hard. It's a hard thing to go through. Everyone goes through it. Everyone sees it. Everyone embraces it. Everyone looks at it. But is it the truth? The Lord will always bring you through things, but it doesn't mean that you are 20 paces behind. Friday, when I was at work, anyone knows I work at Cajun Power Manufacturing, and we have big 18-wheelers come, and we have to unload them. Well, we have this movable ramp that I have to get the forklift, pick it up, like at the end, and it's like backing up a trailer forward, okay? So we like to park it right next to the wall, so it's out of the way, you know, truck can back up. So I've moved it 1,500 times, and that day, our tomato paste truck came in. We opened the doors, and I go to get the ramp, and conveniently we have these pallets that sit right here that should be moved. We got junk right here that should be moved, but it's very difficult to get out. You have to come back, go forward. Because if you know anything about working heavy machinery, if you're right up against a wall, you got to turn your front end toward the wall to get away from it. You can't turn your front end this way. You're going to hit the wall the whole way there. So you got to turn your wheel this way and be able to back up and slowly maneuver your way. So this way I have the ramp and I'm trying to move out. And I'm coming up and the pallets are here and I'm going, constantly have to go back and forth. It took me a good, I don't know, 5-6 minutes to do it. And the whole time, I'm like, man, like, I usually get this first try, I can ride out. I'm like, this truck driver thinks I've been doing this for one day, you know? you know, like, man, I'm just like, you know, I'm like really discouraged on myself. I'm like, man, you know, but I didn't hit anything. You know, that's the important part. I didn't hit anything. Everything's okay. There's no dents. But I finally get it out after all that time, back up, go toward the truck, put it down, load it, put the pressure down to where I can ride up the ramp. That truck driver comes up to me. He goes, "Man, you got some mad skills on the forklift." I'm like, "What?" He goes, "Man, most people would have hit everything on the way. You didn't hit a thing." And that's when I thought, that's the way the Lord sees us sometimes. I myself was looking at my situation, being like, I look like an idiot, you know, trying to get out of this spot, trying to move, try not to hit anything. And this guy's sitting here impressed. When you're going through things, when you go through struggles in life, when you go through rough patches in life, and you feel like you're just going back and forth, trying to maneuver your way in and out, trying to make that turn to where you don't hit the wall and you don't hit this, and the Lord's guiding you, and he's saying, "You got this. I'm with you. I'm helping you." Because you know what? You're going to come out just like that wall without a scratch on you. Our Lord has too much invested in you to let your boat sink. When they were out on the Sea of Galilee and the storms came, he didn't let them sink. He didn't let the winds come. The winds came, the water came and all that, but he didn't let the boat sink. You're going through things, you're going through troubles. You're trying to back up, you're trying to move forward, and it's stuck, it's looking bad. You're getting embarrassed, you know, you're looking. But the whole time, the Lord's saying, you got it. I'm with you. I'm here to show you these things. We expect perfection from ourselves, but yet we are imperfect. We're imperfect people. The Lord doesn't even expect you to be perfect. We have a higher standard for ourselves sometimes than the Lord has for us. The Lord's saying, "I came to make you perfect in my time." You don't just come out that way. No matter what you go through. If we were perfect, we wouldn't have needed his cross. If we were perfect, we wouldn't have needed his blood. But how do we get to that state? How do we get to that state of perfection? Well, we won't reach it here. We can't reach it here. But one day we will, but only through him. Again, we're not perfect, but the Lord will help us in all aspects of our lives. If you want to turn to Romans 3:28, just a couple books later. Justification, the act of being made righteous by the Spirit of God. Justification. Romans 3:28. "Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." First off, when you give your heart to Christ, you are, in a sense, in the spirit world, made perfect. How can I make that statement? I can make that statement because if you give your heart to the Lord, you die instantly, you're in his presence. You cannot go to heaven unless that spirit man has been made to be perfect. Now, we ourselves, you look at yourself and you're like, "Wow, no, I ain't there yet." But the Lord looks at us. We see that, and we see that in 2 Corinthians 2:22. If you want to turn there just real quick, you can keep your finger there. It won't at the in Romans. I'm sorry, it's 1:22. who has also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. That earnest, that means it is the first fruits. We have the first fruits of what our glorified state will be. We have that first step in getting there. And when he looks at us with those first fruits. He sees us in that way. I have everyone? Have everyone? Justification is only done by us putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross of Calvary. Amen. That's how salvation comes. That is the first step in you becoming more Christ-like. Now, how do we get more Christ-like? That's the second part. After justification, after you've given your heart to Jesus Christ and he has made you clean, he's made you whole, now you got to move on. You're immediately moved on into sanctification, where that's where you are fine-tuned. That's where the little things start being changed. If I was to go to a junkyard and I find a 1970 Chevy Chevelle, right? Beautiful car, right? But it's rusting out. The pistons are blown. The crankshaft's out. Transmission's out. That's the way the Lord kind of sees us whenever he finds us. We're like an old car in a junkyard. Because you know what? We're all projects. We're all projects. We all have a little bit that needs to be fixed. Now, what's the first thing that happens if you are going to restore a car? First thing that happens, obviously, you got to tow it back to wherever you're going to fix it. So first off, you have to come out of the situation you're in and be accepted and brought in and be ready to be made and formed. Second, the master mechanic has to go and he has to find what's even good on this thing. that's first. You got to look and be like, okay, like we might need to replace the entire motor. We might need to, it needs new rims. It needs all these things. And he looks at it and he's like, okay. But you know what he also sees? He sees potential. And when he looks at us, he sees potential. So we're sitting here, there's a bent fender, we're rusting out on a side, we have a blown engine, transmission's out, and he's like, wow, there's a lot of potential here. Now, here's what religion does. Religion takes your car, spray paints it a new color, and says, look, it's ready. They put a new coat on you. They change that outside first. What does the Lord do? Change that inside. Change it inside first. Because you know what? He'd rather have your engine running than you have a brand new coat of paint on you. Am I right? Am I right? So he starts working and it's tedious. It's tedious. He has to take apart that engine, see if there's anything wrong in there first before he's like, okay, gotta throw it, scrap it. I'm gonna put mine in there. He's gonna look and he's gonna say, look, that transmission, it's blown, it's out. We'll put mine in there. He looks and he sees, oh, these rims are rusting out and it's horrible. We'll put mine on there. He looks and he sees, oh, the wiring harness has been eaten by rats. We gotta replace the whole wiring harness. The Lord would rather drive you as a car with the engine running and him sitting on a bucket than have you not running at all. That's why sometimes it takes time. You know, you have people who come into the church. You have people, you know, you've all seen them. You see celebrities. Oh, we're saved. Then the church puts them in the front of the pulpit 2 weeks after they've been saved. And they wonder why in a couple months, years, they've fallen away and they've given Christianity a bad name. Because you haven't spent time on the lift. Get on the lift. Get on the lift. Because you know what? There's a little bit of, you know, look, that car's been sitting in there. There might be an oil leak. You're going to need new oil. All these things rusting out and everything. So Lord, he starts working very tediously on you. That's what sanctification is. He's working tedious on you. But here's also the thing. You will never be fully sanctified until you've been glorified. So he's sitting there and he's working. Okay, I got one of the valves working. And you're like, wow, I have a great progress. You know, you're like, oh, I have great progress. Great, you know. And he's like, we still got a lot more to do. He sees it all. He sees it. He's like, okay, we got another one to go through. Another one to go through. And he starts working on back. And finally, one day, he's able to turn that key and start the engine. Now, look, that car may not be able to go anywhere yet. But the engine started. Engine started. And that, you know, that comes in with you being filled with the Holy Spirit, being able to go and now do the work that the Lord has called you to do. You may not look fantastic. You know, you may be, again, you might be rusting out on the side, but you're able to do the work. You can get from point A to point B. We might break down on the way. But you know what? He always has his toolbox with him. Hallelujah. He always knows how to fix us. He knows how to make us new, make us whole, make us wonderful again. That sanctification simplified. How he works on us, and he continuously works on us, and there's always something to do on us. As some, he has to remove some things, and it hurts. He has to shrink some things. It hurts. He has to grow some things. It hurts. Everything hurts. But he's also here to say, I'm with you. No matter what happens to you, I'm with you. So remember, you're on that lift. He's working on you. You know, he might have your engine working perfectly. It's fantastic. But there's more problems along the way. There's always something that goes wrong. Second Thessalonians 2:13. I'll just read it from here. But we are bound to give thanks away to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Again, you've been justified. He has brought you into his kingdom. You're saved at that point. If nothing, he does nothing else for you after that, you're going to heaven. You are heaven bound at that point. But then the sanctification process immediately kicks in. That's why if you say something in the wrong tone to somebody, you'll feel it in your spirit. That's why whenever you go and before you do something, you'll be like, no, don't do that. And in some cases, it's different for each of us because he knows our hearts. He knows what we need. He knows what we can handle. I think my mom said it the other day. She goes, I guess the Lord doesn't see fit to make me rich. You know? Couldn't handle it. I could say the same thing for myself. You know? Little things. The Lord might have a little bit more to work on us in those areas. It's the Holy Spirit's job to clean us up and to make that sanctification process work. It is his job, that is his function in the Godhead. Lord Jesus died for us, the Holy Spirit works on us, and our Heavenly Father commissioned them and watches over us. That's the way the Trinity works, in short. Glorified, to make glorious. You look up in the Bible, there's two general definitions for being glorified. One, obviously, you're glorifying the Lord, you know, like you're worshiping him, you're praising him, but another one is to be made glorious, to be made like him. And one day we will be made like him. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 15, we're flipping all over today, so we're allowing everybody to get some Bible practice. Look, that reminds me of whenever I was in school, being homeschooled. They'd have the Bible classes. They do something called sword drills. You'd have to do this. You couldn't have your finger there. They'd be like, Romans 5:2. Yeah, a little bit. I know the general location of most things. 1 Corinthians 15:35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with the body do they come? You fool, that which you sow is not quickened except it die. That which you sow, you sow not. And the body that shall be, but bear again. It may chase the wheat or of some other gain, but God gives it a body as it is pleased to him, and to every seed his own body. When we are raptured with him, we will be given a glorified body. Amen. Even the people in heaven today don't have their glorified state yet. They're in the spirit. Their bodies haven't reached their spirits again. But when the trump sounds and we're taken with him, we will be given that new body to do the work that we're supposed to do whenever, after the second coming and all those things. Why did he choose it to do that way? I don't know. But we know one thing, is that everything he does is right and perfect. If you look down to verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption and raised in incorruption. Your body is corrupted right now. We are corrupted beings. The only reason we're able to go to heaven and be with him is because we've been justified. But our bodies are still in a fallen state. But it says when we rise again, we're coming up not like this. We're coming up in a glorified state. Amen. Verse 43. And it is shown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is shown in weakness and is raised in power. We are weak right now. When Satan comes against us, we have to immediately go to the Father and ask, Lord, help us. Keep us from doing these things, Father. We don't have the strength in ourselves to do it. We are weak individuals, but we are made strong because of him. And when we're raised up again in that glorified state, we're coming up strong. We're coming up the way we were intended to be before the fall. We're coming up to be strong, mighty men and women of God. Verse 44, it is shown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. And there is a natural body. And there is a spiritual body. Just saying, there is a physical and there is a spiritual. And you got to feed both. A lot of people like to neglect their spiritual bodies. Then they wonder when the winds and the rain come why they're surrendering. why they're giving up. Here's the thing. Even when you feed it, we still can't take it. That's why it's so simple, it's hard to understand. You can take someone who is spiritually strong and take someone who is spiritually weak, but if their faith is both placed in the proper object, if they can get their points to the proper object, which is Christ and Him crucified, they can make it through. It's easier for someone who is strong, but both can. That's why there's no excuses. You take people who, you know, they add to salvation. They're like, you have to be baptized or whatever. Or you have to speak in tongues to be saved. Or you have to do our protocol or whatever it is to be saved. Here's the thing. Not everyone has access to everything. But everyone has access to Him. It doesn't matter who you are. You can be in the backside of Africa where God has never been. And if you are hungry for something, He will send His Spirit towards you. He will reach you. He has 100% track record of saving whoever wants Him. Not everyone has access to everything. That's why the Lord made it as simple as possible. I am everywhere, and I can save you anywhere. Just believe me, and I will touch you and make you whole again. I'm reminded, you know, the woman did great things, Mother Teresa. You know, she did wonderful things. You know, she fed so many people and everything. But I remember it was one of her last interviews she did in her life. And she said, I don't know if I've done enough to make it to heaven. And she has served her whole life and doesn't have a reassurance. But yet you can take a child who's walked down the aisle, given their hearts to Jesus, and they can say, heaven is my home. That is spiritual maturity in a child. It's not by our works, but it is by where our faith is placed. No matter what it is, our faith must be anchored in Christ and Him crucified. For your salvation, it's the cross. You struggle with something, it's the cross. Don't carry what you're going through. Whatever you struggle, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be drugs, alcohol, whatever it is. Whatever you struggle with, you don't carry it. You give it to Him, let Him carry it, and He will show you great and mighty things. He will deliver you. He's the only one that can do those things. You know, you have the people who will, like, quit cigarettes. Okay. But in the end, they still want cigarettes. They still crave it. You give it to God and you give Him time, you're not going to crave it. And when you try to smoke it, you'll get sick. He takes away the desire in your heart to do those things. He draws it out and makes you into that new 1970 Chevy Chevelle. He makes you into those things. And of ourselves, we can't do those things. He is the one that can bring you through anything that you need to go through, that you are destined to go through. He moves, and He will move at His time. And look, you might be like, I've prayed for months or years, and nothing has happened. First off, it's not Him, it's us. It's not His fault. It's our fault. Second of all, a lot of times we like to hold on to just a little bit. And here's the thing. He doesn't want to take it till it's all His to carry. Don't hold on to the little bits. Surrender it all It's tough, it's difficult, but he brings you through and makes you into a better man or woman. We are glorified, we will be glorified one day when we meet him and see him face to face. Our final scripture this morning will be Acts 2, 14. We start in verse 14. Peter denied Christ. He denied Christ, and at this point now in his life, he's feeling like he's 20 steps back. He is horrified at what he had done. Denied the Lord. But now, you know, the difference is, you know, Judas betrayed him, and Peter denied him, and You've heard the differences, how Judas ran from him, but Peter ran to him. In your life, you run to him. You run to him, you give him everything, you show him everything, and then he will make you into the man that you're meant to be, the man or woman you're meant to be. The same man, 40 or so odd days before, denied him three times, is now preaching the inaugural message of the church. In verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing as it is the third hour of the day, but it is which you have spoken of the prophet of Joel. And shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit unto all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. And my servants and my handmaids will pour out these days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will sow wonders in heaven, above the signs of the earth, breath, blood, and fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great noble day of the Lord to come. And it shall come to pass, here's what it is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The man who denied now is saying, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He ran to his God. He ran to the place he denied, and he was given a new heart, a new mind, and now the power of God was in him, and he was preaching the gospel to a lost and dying world. Amen. That's what God can do. That's what he did in Peter's life. That's what he's doing in all of our lives. But we must surrender to him. We must trust in him. Too many people don't trust him enough. You got to trust him with your whole life. Not just the parts you want to give him. Don't hold on to those little things. Give him everything. He's here to make you a new creation. He's here to make you into a new person. Don't hold on to those things. Give it to him as he is instructed. Let's stand.